Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Another big European night for Norway, and West Ham and Spurs take different approaches to tuning up for the weekend. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 22nd of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Rishad Hantaraja.
My career as a horse racing commentator awaits,
definitely,
I think. Welcome
definitely
to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Luke Moore feels like, oh, crikey.
Careful. Give me a kick then.
It was more like a pat. It was more like a friendly pat. Like a pat with my foot.
With what looks quite a lot like a jack boot. So I'll take it on the chin, I suppose.
Just trying to set the tone. It's been a long time, mate.
It has. But I'm very pleased to be here. And thank you very much for having me back.
Oh, anytime.
Thanks.
And Vish, it's been, in a sense, not long enough.
24
no,
hours.
No, I get that sense as well.
No hats with you this fine morning?
No, I thought it was quite amusing that when I left the house today, I remembered to take it out because that time
the beret you're on about.
The beret I wore yesterday. But, you know,
if you haven't... Not take it out in future, by the way.
Yeah,
so
fair shout. But so for anyone who hasn't listened to Thursday's show, I suppose, obviously there's footage of it on Instagram, but it was the morning of Thursday's show when I turned to my wife, Olympia, and I said, do you have a beret? As she was walking out to a very important job.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit like, I imagine, people with kids, when they find out on the morning of book day that they need an outfit.
Need to be a character.
Yeah. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't explain this to you because you're running late, but it is a nonsense.
And you have a real job.
Yeah,
so
she has a real job.
And your that's confusing
and your
for
character
you.
That day was a dick.
Yeah, it was, Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be a dick.
Nice to see
it's
you,
It's funny, all Vish's best material comes when Jules is not around.
Oh, I see. Well, you think he's just a bit crushed by her?
Terrified.
No, I think I respond well to Jules because, you know, you only when you're under duress, do you learn about yourself.
Pressure creates diamonds.
Yeah.
All right, shut the fuck up, Liz. Let's crack on, shall we?
Yeah. Jules was at the West Ham game last night.
She was. Yeah. Oh, sorry, this is a bit navel-gazing, but isn't it so bloody nice seeing her on the highlights and seeing
She's
her
great.
Doing her stuff?
And with the Cole brothers as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm. All of the big lads. So nice seeing her working on that. West Ham beat Genk 3-0 in the end. I mean, there was quite a lot of pressure from Genk early doors, but two goals in 1 minute is always going to make you feel a little bit shit, isn't it?
Very even first half. Genk had
they had a lot of chances.
And then obviously West Ham just kind of moved through the gears and took the game away from them. Dangerous from set pieces, West Ham, obviously two goals from the centre-backs.
Craig Dawson shouldering one in. I thought
Diop's was a shoulder as well.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they've been working on, using different parts of the anatomy to score.
I know it's probably a little bit, maybe. I know it's a little bit kind of basic to just get stuck into Steve McManaman so early on.
That is basic, show. But it's all right.
In my defence, it is late in the week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe people would accept it. Like, both the headers, I think, were off the shoulder.
Yeah.
I think. Right. And bear in mind, I'm watching this at home on the telly, and Steve McManaman's got access to everything I've got access to and more. And it was like he wasn't even looking. It was like someone had just said to him, Craig Dawson, header. And he's just gone, brilliant header. Fantastic header. Look at that. Great header. It's like, are you actually fucking watching
bring
it?
Bring things. People want you to bring things to this, don't they? Yeah. And then the second one was Issa Diop, shoulder, head, whatever. Pinging off the crossbar, though, off that free kick.
It was one of the most vintage crossbar moments because hit the crossbar, came down the line and bounced up just behind the crossbar.
Yes, loves it.
Which is like a really aesthetically pleasing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't really see the top of the net ripple as much, do you?
No.
It's nice to have like a little bit of quite a soft ripple.
People don't roof it enough when they finish either, normally.
No, no.
I think it could happen more. I thought West, I mean, I never thought I'd hear myself saying this really based on what happened 18 months ago or so, whatever it was. It just looked like, I looked at West Ham against Genk last night and looked at the stadium. I thought, it just looks amazing. Yeah. It just looks brilliant.
I had that thought, I've had it for a couple of months now, just watching West Ham, but for generations of West Ham's fans, this will be the best it ever has been.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let alone finishing sixth last year, the seventh at the moment, 100% record in Europe. Mm. And, you know, I think I saw a stat yesterday that since David Moyes has taken over in this second spell, he's given 9 debuts to academy products.
Yeah, so right.
Not only is he working from the top,
ticking all the boxes,
but evidently people are coming through as well. And it's a much happier place, all told, not just the West Ham squad, but the London Stadium as well. And obviously there's still, you know, various issues with the board that I suppose has actually, because of the results on the field, has lost a bit of steam.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it just seems together. And
I'm sure they'll get a lot of credit. I'm sure they'll get all the credit for it, of course. Yeah, you're right, because Jack Dean, who does Jack's Happy Hour here at a fellow Stack show, he was saying last night that he thinks he's a big West Ham fan.
Right.
He was saying that it's the best West Ham team he can remember seeing.
So yeah.
Fascinating, really.
So exciting to see Jared Bowen scoring his first goal in Europe as well. He's absolutely buzzing afterwards.
I bet he used to play for Hereford, didn't he?
Yeah,
so I think he was a non-league player for a while. So
I think he referenced that in his post-match, didn't he? An incredible story, really. Even when he made the move from Hull, there was a sense of, God, have they just overpaid here? Because at the time, West Ham were not battling relegation, but certainly something they were worried about. And they brought him in, and he's been flying, really. Although he's had a really quiet start to this season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was his second goal in all competitions.
Was he playing through the middle last night? Obviously, West Ham made a few changes because they got a big game this weekend. But Bowen, when they signed him from Hull, he was a kind of out wide, cut inside quite a lot.
On the right, yeah.
Yeah, and he could do that. And he almost looked like, we talked about it at the time, I think he almost looked like, with due respect to Arjen Robben, it was a very Arjen Robben style of play.
Yeah.
But he seems to, from what I've seen, been able to adapt quite a lot and do a lot of different things now at Premier League level. And not just at Premier League level, but European level and top half of the Premier League as well. So his ceiling is obviously very high. He's a very exciting player.
Yeah, I think it's also credit to Moyes that Yarmolenko and Bowen started together yesterday, because Bowen coming in really, you know, knocked Yarmolenko back in the pecking order. And obviously we've seen Felipe Anderson leaving that time as well. And Yarmolenko, I think a lot of people assumed, because he was quite a flashy player, that he'd be quite lazy or certainly respond badly.
He seems to get injured a lot, though,
yeah,
as well.
But the fact that Moyes has kept him involved and like, played two players who ultimately were playing for the same position in the same team is, credit to him. It feels weird, like, praising Moyes' tactical nous, but I think it's deserved. Yeah.
But he always used to be good.
Yeah,
used to be good.
Like, yeah, for Preston,
he's had it in
for
him.
Everton. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a nice moment to move on as we praise Moyes' tactical nous. Yeah, good performance from West Ham unbeaten in Europe so far. Meanwhile, in the Conference League, Roma lost 6-1 to Norwegian side Bodø/Glimt.
I don't think you have to do the slash. You said
Bodø/Glimt.
Yeah.
I was focusing on pronouncing the Ødegaard right.
Yeah.
So did I do that? Anyway, no, who knows?
This is why
Norwegians, right in.
This is why it's great to tamper with the running order, because you just read it straight, don't you?
Yeah.
I managed to evade Maison. I hope you noticed. First time Jose Mourinho has conceded 6 or more goals in his career of 1,008 matches. Oh, yeah. It really makes Steve Bruce look like a recent man.
These stats keep coming up, don't they? Like, it happened. It started.
You live long enough.
Yeah, I mean that is in it, but that's a very real thing about his management, that he's gone on for so long, and you start realizing that this is going one way. Yeah, it happened at Manchester United, where there were, you know, a few results that ticked certain boxes, or he was going through runs where he wasn't winning home games, or the losses at home at Spurs, and suddenly, yeah, it's
but what, some of those records are an example of a phenomenal manager.
Oh yeah,
a genius manager, really. Being still relatively early on in his career, it's not sustainable to never lose a home league.
Yeah, it's set against very high standards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At least it was.
Yeah.
But
what
I would say, he's doing a bloody good job of tearing it up, because, I mean, last night, I watched a lion's share of this game last night.
That's commitment, isn't it? Can we all just express our appreciation for Luke Moore?
I just thought it'd be an interesting game to watch. And so, are we going to applaud or not?
Oh, sorry.
You said, can we applaud? No one applauded. Outrageous. Got to temper expectations here.
You said that like a man who's at a wedding, be like, oh, I do love my wife. Oh, do you? The Welsh, had no idea.
The world shitter's best man speech gets towards the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing I find interesting, and we obviously get, people criticise the media a lot in football for saying that they read.
Who's having
much,
a go?
Much, how long have you got? Into single results now, that like one game one swallow doesn't make a summer or whatever. But this game, it was fascinating to me because the way it transpired, it was 2-1 at half time. Bodo Glimt went 2-0 up, and then Roma pulled one back. And it was like, okay, this is quite an interesting game at half time. It's quite poised. Mm. It's going to be a challenge because it's away from home and it's a different type of side and all the rest of it, because they play some nice stuff. And then they just fell apart. And I was saying to you guys earlier, the reason that's interesting to me is because if you criticised the Mourinho side in the past, it would be like they would go to someone like this and they'd probably get a 0-0. Or
yes.
It would be a really, really boring, stodgy performance,
and
but it would ultimately
be what
do the job.
Criticize.
Yeah, and
they
would
exactly.
get criticised for that. Defensively, against this side last night, it was honestly, it was probably the worst defensive performance I've seen from any team this season. It was embarrassing. Bodo Glimt were walking goals in almost, which is frightening. I know Roma made changes. I don't know an awful lot about Italian football. I know Roma made changes. I know Mourinho threw every single human being associated with the club under the bus at the end of the game.
He did. Hang on, shall I give you the quote?
Yeah.
I never disguised the fact that we were a squad with real limitations. We have 13 players.
Yeah,
which is actually, let's be honest, two more than you need, Joe said.
I was going to say, that's actually quite generous thinking about it, because I didn't think they're anywhere near 13 based on last night.
You're playing a side, okay, admittedly top of the Norwegian league. Perhaps linked with the Manchester United job.
By you?
But I was just giving it to Vish. Yeah.
Just because he's Norwegian.
You just thought of it earlier.
Yeah. Kjetil Knutsen, come on. He's above Molde. What's the big deal?
You know what you were saying about the media before?
He hasn't failed at Cardiff.
No, can't argue with that really, can you?
He says he's the normal Knutsen. Says he's the normal one, is already taken. So I'm going to have to be the pretty one. It's quite a lot in this week, I feel like, of footballers and football managers sort of going on the aesthetic.
We said it yesterday. Football is in a really horny space right now.
It is, but can we put that quote, that boring stuff, to bed now? I mean, Mourinho said that in, was it 2005?
Yeah, it's true. We need to move on.
16 years ago, people still referencing it. You know, when he's, why are journalists still asking people about it?
That's
Luke,
true,
Luke was gagging for the retrospective 20 years since he said it.
No, I think
we'll
it's
do
just
a
4 years
show.
To go. Yeah. I think people like you, professional writers in the industry, can do better to come up with some angles than that bullshit.
I don't think I've ever used the one moniker. I'm putting it out there, yeah.
Okay,
I can't abide by that.
People listening to this will go fine-tooth comb everything you've ever done.
Find it. Drop the C word like a mother on Twitter. Find plenty of those.
Yeah, that's it.
No, troll.
Not use that, yeah.
Also in...
Cancel me.
All right. Nick, what do you think I've been trying to do?
Yeah.
Also in the illustrious Conference League, Vitesse Arnhem beats Spurs 1-0. Maximilian Vitek, 78th minute goal, the winner in this one. We are skipping through it, unless you want to lay into Tottenham. I don't mind.
They weren't very good.
They fundamentally played a completely different side to the one that I expect to see at the London Stadium at the weekend. They've got
they're not six
games in 18 days, one every 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm not that fussed about them taking a side like that to play a game like that. With respect to this historic and good little side, Vitesse.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs aren't too far away from subcontracting another team to play their Conference League games, are they?
I'm easy on it.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
We should put ourselves forward.
We talked...
No, 100%, yeah, 100%.
We talked yesterday about a slightly different thing, obviously, but, you know, playing Lukaku and getting him injured in a European game when, you don't, you know, no one really wants to see... I didn't feel a joyous expression when Harry Kane came on. I mean, I enjoyed seeing him score 3 goals against Dennis Müller, but it doesn't really... 1-0 win, 1-0 loss in this, I don't really mind.
We have to We have to also be a little bit realistic, though, and say that, you know, Davinson Sanchez played and he cost 42 million.
Mm. And Steven Bergwijn played, but he was actually quite good.
Bergwijn played and scored, didn't he cost 27 million or something like that?
That's true. They should have put together a better performance with players like that.
It's an expensive group of players. I haven't even mentioned Brian Hill, who played, who I think gave away a penalty, by the way. Very lucky.
Yeah, that was odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, very lucky.
But he did also strike the bar and.
That cancels it out,
Yeah, that's the point,
but people do good things and bad things all the time, and it doesn't mean the bad things don't count.
Listen up, listeners.
So it was a poor performance. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Vitesse, who looked actually quite interesting. They were quite good going forward. The goal was an interesting one as well because it took a deflection, but the deflection didn't seem to do anything.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Do you think so?
Yeah. But anyway, it's a poor result. And you know, they've got a big game this weekend against a team who are absolutely pumping at the moment. So it'll be fascinating to see how it transpires. Mikel Antonio, for example, wasn't even bothered for Genk. Didn't even bother ringing him up, did they?
Yeah.
So no, let him have a lie in. It's fine.
It's a pretty sensible idea. Yeah. Yeah. As it turns out. Yeah, that one is Sunday, 2 o'clock. He was rested, as Luke says. If you remember last time they faced Tottenham, I scored within 5 minutes of their last meeting.
No mucking about.
Straight into
dressed, dressed as a snowman.
Yeah.
Speaking of things, if Luke is the media, always bring up.
Yeah.
It's getting around to your most favourite time of the year, isn't it, Luke?
It's just a brilliant thing.
Is it New Year or was it Christmas Eve when he crashed that car?
It was on the way to the West Ham Christmas party. I think it might have been Christmas Day.
Is other people celebrate Christmas Day, Luke? No, it was crashing into a wall.
It was Christmas Day because I think the family in the house all came out because they were in the middle of opening their presents or something.
Did they welcome him in?
Because what they do with Premier League players is, because they have to play on Boxing Day, they welcome him in on Christmas Day and have a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah.
And he was dressed as a snowman because he didn't want to get changed when he got there.
Mad.
Mad. It's amazing. The photos were brilliant.
Imagine that, dressed as Father Christmas as well, thinking, well, for starters, he's late and he usually comes from up there, doesn't he?
Yeah. He was dressed as a snowman, not Father Christmas.
Oh, was it? Yeah. That's terrifying.
Even more
then.
Weird. Yeah.
I'm really sorry to move us on from this, but we did want to dig in a bit into looking ahead to the weekend. We did want to dig in a bit to Leeds against Wolves. That's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. And one of the reasons, I mean, actually, we could give a bit of credit to Bruno Lage coming, because a lot of people saying some quite negative stuff about Wolves, but they seem to be getting together as a side. But we did want to talk a bit about Leeds, because obviously they're quite low in the table at the moment. People have called the defeat to Southampton last Saturday one of their worst displays ever. Now, I don't know what you guys have made. It was 1-0.
I mean, it's not, given
tell Jose Mourinho.
Given Leeds' history, where they've been, I don't think it was the worst performance ever.
I know. It's almost like this extreme approach to actually quite run-of-the-mill defeats. But the reason people are talking about it is because they have not been delivering in anywhere near like the way they did last season. And everyone was so excited watching Leeds play previously. And one of the reasons, I don't know what you guys think about why this is happening, but one of the reasons clearly seems to be this focus on his very small squad. And he's had a hell of a lot of injuries. And it doesn't look like, for example, Patrick Bamford is going to get back in time for this one. And he, of course, is, you know, has been a focus and scored, 17 goals last season. Mm-hmm. So it looks as though the injuries might be something that is playing a big part in this.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about how Leeds play, and obviously we've talked on the show a lot and it's been written about a lot, but with that man-to-man system, you know, you rely on everyone doing their job, and that's why they, on their day, they can be so devastating. And when you're with a squad like Leeds, the drop-off between a first-team player and a substitute is quite vast. So you end up in a situation where what was once a cohesive unit is relying a little bit more on an alternate coming in and hitting the ground running and doing exactly what the guy in front of him did.
Now, isn't that the whole principle of what Bielsa's doing, though? Is that people play into this?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But you're still getting
a drop-off in quality there, or even, potentially even in fitness as well, but given that they would lack a degree of match sharpness. Then, obviously, you take out six players and you're losing a lot more in the broader 11, and then you know for example you watch that game against Southampton and they're making like comical errors and they just seem totally out of sync with one another, perhaps because they haven't been playing as regularly as you know the prime 11. And I suppose you're in a situation now which isn't too surprising, really. And I think there's, you know, Bielsa's press conference yesterday was really interesting because he was quite introspective. He was very downbeat, but also downbeat to a degree where he wants to rectify it. And I think the thing that I thought reading his quotes was that in previous situations, in previous jobs that Bielsa's had, he's had very tough periods. And often he's seen himself as a problem in that he realises that he doesn't have the solution, so therefore he is part of the problem. Mm. I don't think he's there yet with Leeds by any stretch of the imagination. And I think the fact that he's so comfortable in the Leeds area, you know, living in Harrogate, wherever it is, and feels so woven into the fabric of the club that he feels a bit more at home and certainly feels a lot of love that won't be tempered by this run. But I wonder if it goes on for any longer, if he suddenly has a thought of, shit, maybe I am the issue here.
Wow. Okay. Is that okay? I guess.
It was just a thought I had, not through anything like I've heard. I just wonder that, you know, if they don't get out of it, he will. And it's not to say that Leeds can have a bad season and not be relegated. You know, that's a standard they set last year. And with those players coming back, that'll be fine. I just think I wonder if he might start having those thoughts.
Loath as I am to mention XG in the company of you guys, last season, lots of the time, the XG was 2 or above.
Yeah. I read they're not creating anywhere near the same amount of high-quality chances this season. Yeah, but that's also linked into the stuff Vish is saying. Like, ultimately, you can look at it in quite simple terms as well and say, well, Calvin Phillips, Patrick Bamford and Rafinha.
Yeah, sorry, we haven't even mentioned Calvin
arguably
Phillips.
They're three best players. And they're losing. They've lost him for large periods. I don't think Rafinha's played at all in the Premier League this season yet, has he?
And he's due to be back international.
They flew him back for the Southampton game, and he got there, and they said, "Oh no, you can't play."
Yeah. Or something. Yeah.
So I think that there's all these things are playing into it. But I think one of the things that is absolutely key, I agree with Vish, is that he wants to work with a very small group of players, and he's always kind of done that in his managerial career, as far as I know. And then you have that drop off. And the great example of that would be the Southampton game, where I think the players they had on the bench, however many there were of them, seven or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they'd had 1 minute between them in the Premier League in history. So you look at, I'm not a Leeds expert, of course, but you look at the bench, you go, I don't recognise any of those players. Then that becomes a problem because the drop-off is so vast and so severe. I personally expect them to pick up. I think they'll get players back. They'll get back into shape, into fitness, and they'll start picking up results, chiefly because there are teams far worse than them in the Premier League. The only kind of spectre at the feast there, I guess, is if Bielsa does something impulsive, which I don't think he's immune from.
And do you think this is a game for them to get back up to it? Because, of course, Wolves seem like they're getting a bit of momentum.
Yeah, they're playing
themselves.
Wolves at a weird time because Wolves have won their last three. I haven't actually seen that much of Wolves this season.
Yeah, me neither.
I saw one of their games fairly recently, and I thought they were very unlucky. It was a game against Brentford, maybe? No, it wasn't Brentford. I can't remember. Anyway, they've picked up brilliantly in the last few weeks. And it's actually quite a difficult time for Leeds to be playing them, which will be a source of frustration as well, I think.
Yeah, Wolves started well on the field, but didn't get any of the results. They were very unlucky against Spurs. They were very lucky against Manchester United as well.
Yeah.
And then they just like knocked through three wins in a row, including the way they won against Villa as well, which is going to put them on incredible high.
They lost 1-0 at home to Man United, and they were actually possibly the better team.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. Okay, it wasn't Brentford. Brentford Rexham. I've got that completely confused.
And I think the other thing that helps is that Leeds would have seen that Southampton game as Southampton would have seen it against Leeds as being right. This is the game where we can kind of turn things around a bit. And
Southampton are a poor side. They're a poor side. They're a worse side than Leeds, in my opinion.
All right, if we're getting onto Southampton, it must be time to go to a break. Before we do, a quick reminder. In fact, perhaps this is the opportune moment to download it if you haven't already. Yeah. Yesterday's On the Continent with Dot and Andy and Lars Iversen was a cracker. Get it on Football Ramble Presents.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mm-hmm. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Sheehan Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Cleared. And yes! Winks can get away. Lanzini!
Oh, no.
That is the worst.
No. What a goal.
What a goal. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. They just sound so hapless, don't they? Yeah. That's what people think
if you,
of.
If you dance with the devil by doing a fan channel, sometimes the music stops. That's what I'll say.
I had that exact thought when I was covering that game live and Lanzini panged that in the 95th minute.
And you had to redo your match report.
Yeah, 3-0 at 83 minutes.
It's not fair, is it?
It could be worse. You could have a proper job, though. That'd be really hard.
That's true.
Well, it was late at night.
Is that all you've got? Yeah.
Have you tried getting back from Tottenham to North West London?
Yeah, you've got my sympathy there. Get into Tottenham. Oh.
My apologies.
And that's why she doesn't have a proper job.
Yeah.
Got quite trigger happy there. Now it's time to get to your emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch, just email show@footballramble.com.
Vish, you gave me the finger.
I did give you the finger.
And now you've got an email.
And I've got an email from Lewis. After The Undertaker introduced Pitbull to the stage in Saudi Arabia, fuck me. Just wondering who will be introducing the team out against Chelsea for the next home game. I'm thinking The Rock would take the Saudi money and do the best job. I don't think The Rock needs the money.
No.
And so, I think Chris Jericho needs the money.
Right.
And Chris Jericho would be a good announcer
I do think that if for all their faults, of which there are many, if the Saudi Arabians who are currently owning Newcastle United now needed to win hearts and minds.
Uh-huh.
If they were to enlist The Rock to bring out the team every game, I think that would do a lot of work towards it.
Yeah,
people love The Rock.
Yeah. Is this The Rock who inexplicably has the most followers of anybody on anything?
He is just the world's most popular man. Yeah. Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Don't they? They love him.
No, they do. Yeah, yeah. But I still think you're kind of... I think it's Chris Jericho. You know, we talked before about, you know, Newcastle United aren't going to necessarily go for like the top tier signings. They're going to build towards that.
Yes.
And I think you build towards that with Chris Jericho.
Playing The Rock up front. All right, Chris Jericho.
Announcing the squad, yeah.
Wanda Cardi.
Yeah, Wanda Cardi. Yeah, we did this yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's on the Patreon.
Well, I think Mauro...
So subscribe, guys.
I think, as you guys were talking about yesterday, Mauro to Newcastle wouldn't be the worst shout in the world. He obviously hates where he is at the moment. So, I mean... Would you like to make...
And I think he hates who he's with as well at the moment.
Yeah, would you like to have an opportunity to make it generally quite considerably worse, Mauro?
I mean, then...
Head to Newcastle United. He'd be playing for a worse team, wouldn't it? It'd be harder for him. Anyway, Jack in London's been in touch. He says there's been sporadic coverage of other musically involved players and ex-pros in previous episodes. So I thought it worth bringing to your attention that former Spain international and Middlesbrough midfielder Gaizka Mendieta is playing a DJ set in Dalston. In East London, of course. I think we mentioned he was performing in Victoria a couple of weeks ago as well. Makes more surprising was the vibe. According to the promoter, the night will feature tracks from the likes of Talking Heads, Dry Cleaning, Gang of Four, Joy Division, Future Islands, Wire, Blondie, The Cure, Sacred Pause, and David Bowie. The producers have kindly put a note in here for anyone listening. It's tonight and it's only £11. So if you want to get yourself down there.
And not sold out.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, that's absurd. Yeah,
that's one of the producers was thinking of going.
None of those bands or artists really appeals to me.
David Bowie.
Culture vacuum.
Absolutely.
No, not culture vacuum. Just how it's just people complaining about breakups.
That's
all it is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You Adele's actually a big listener to this show, so I think you should watch it.
That's all music is.
No, a lot of hip hop is why people like this have been broken up with.
I like the fact that ex-footballers now have made enough money where they can just do what they want.
Yeah,
they haven't got to go and open a pub.
Well, on that note, do you think £11 actually a bit steep?
Yeah, maybe.
Some of it might be going to charity. We don't know that.
Could be.
All right, that sounds like affection. Write in if you go.
Show at
footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, we're looking ahead to the weekend, of course, and the big one with respect to West Ham and Spurs is Manchester United against Liverpool. That is Sunday at 4:30, that one. Rio Ferdinand said Manchester United had to grab onto the emotion of their dramatic comeback on Wednesday night. But will it be enough, guys? I feel like... a lot of people will be tuning in to watch the greatest player in the world right now.
Mm.
And he doesn't play for Manchester United. He's Mo Salah.
I think, I know you guys got stuck into Man United and all that kind of stuff yesterday. But from my point of view, Liverpool are absolutely frightening at the moment.
Yeah.
And if I was a Man United fan, I would be absolutely terrified going into this game because of what it represents, because Man United are at home and traditionally under Solskjaer, they've been better away from home. Because it's a big rivalry game, because of the pressure on the manager, because of all these fair criticisms of Man United that they're just an assembled group of players with such obvious flaws. Whether they win, lose, or draw, it's a frightening prospect. Liverpool are a machine. They're a team of brilliant individuals that know how to work perfectly as a team. And if you have seen even 5 minutes of Liverpool this season, you should be very, very worried about the prospect of them going to Old Trafford because it could be really, really bad. Now, I know Jim said yesterday the games don't always kind of manifest themselves like this, and you also mentioned, Vish, fairly, I think, that Solskjaer's record against the other big teams is actually pretty good compared to his other record against teams that he's supposed to beat. I just don't see United as a credible proposition at the moment, and the way Liverpool are currently playing and their style of play. It's like that old boxing saying, no, styles make fights, right?
Mm.
Well, Liverpool are tailor-made for Man United. If this is a boxing match, this is a second, third round knockout and it's not even close. We'll see what happens, but it's a must-watch for that reason because you could be witnessing something truly horrific.
Yeah, yeah. there is a sense of Man United 1, Man City 6 about this. Certainly.
There's also a factor. There's also the factor. The Ronaldo factor is absolutely fascinating because you have to have rocks in your head. You have to be out of your mind to play a player if he wasn't called Cristiano Ronaldo and he was posting the numbers he's posting now and putting the performances he's putting in now, I know he scored the winner midweek. You play him against Liverpool and expect him to lead the line, you're mad. Absolutely mad. But the politics says that obviously he'll start the game.
Well, the thing I was thinking, I would agree with everything you've just said. The only thing that I think I would factor into this is because Liverpool have been so headline good that I think that Solskjaer has no choice but to batten down the hatches a bit in midfield. And I think if you know, when you watch Liverpool this season, you see them at their kind of pre-pandemic peak, I'd call it, where everyone is just so in sync. We talk about the issues that Leeds have. Well, the benefit of Liverpool is that they can, you know, bring in alternates and you don't lose extra pace. Even the return of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to an extent has kept up there, you know, keeps up that energy and quality on the ball. Yeah, so I mean, I imagine Pogba's coming back for this. I think a lot was made of Pogba missing that game after his comments on the weekend, but I think he was always going to miss this game because of the Liverpool game.
But he's not equipped unless his head's in the game.
No, but I think these are the games he is equipped for. Like he loves playing these games. I think he will station him out on the left, and nominally he will station him out nominally on the left, and he will come in field. I think he has to start Cavani up front for the very reason.
What happened?
You have to defend from the front. But I think he has to. But whether he does it or not is fine. I mean, I think he should organise midfield. Doesn't do that either.
This is giving Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tactical guidance here.
I mean, like, no.
He's not trying to predict the future.
It'd be remiss of me to say that I know any better. Much in the same way that you said, you know, I get that. Management's obviously very hard and I'm sat in a very easy position over here. I just think Cavani has to start for the reasons that Atletico Madrid showed up on, you know, on Tuesday or whatever it was, where they gave them a bit of hassle and they got a bit of joy.
Look, I think
less of the ball.
Of course, football doesn't work like this, but you look back to May, where Liverpool beat Man United fairly handily at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Liverpool had
behind closed doors, of course, just to mention.
Yeah, but Liverpool had players out. They it wasn't even really anywhere near their first.
Well even Solskjaer's good record against, say, like the top six, let's call it that, that was starting to turn last season.
Right, okay.
He had a very poor run at the start against, you know, those teams who would associate in those positions.
I was just going to say, Liverpool are better now than they were then.
Yeah, much better.
And Man United are probably worse now at this moment.
Yeah.
They were there. Look, we can't do yesterday's show again, and why would we? The first half against Atalanta.
Yeah, please,
the first half against Atalanta, Man United were abject. It was abysmal. It was genuinely very, very poor. And I don't, and you know it's a philosophical argument about whether the ends justifies the means. The result is the result. A win's a win's a win. The old Brian Clough thing. Fine. But they were terrible. And I agreed with Paul Scholes wholeheartedly. A better team will punish him. Mm-hmm. Absolutely punish him. And I find the whole coverage of Solskjaer's reign odd because his ex-teammates seem to not know whether they can back him or not. Scholes obviously doesn't give a shit. Rio Ferdinand's right behind him. Gary Neville's right behind him. He's got some kind of charisma, Solskjaer. He seems to have them all. It's almost like a bit like Donald
Everyone's
Trump.
People have got friends, Luke. I don't think we have to...
Do they? Not really. That's just a saying, isn't it? Not really.
We have to break it down.
Isn't he too old for friends? Mm.
Boys,
he's a major mate.
Well, we can talk about men's mental health on another podcast, but it's all right to have friends when you're older and you don't always have to just get drunk with them. You can just sit and talk about your feelings, and that is a serious public announcement. Fish, you wanted to say something.
You know, it feeds into the fact that, you know, the players are still playing for him. I mean, I think there's, you know, a lot of them question his methods and certainly question what's going on in the training ground, but they come out there.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I mean,
it's a big deal to play for Man United. It means something.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's actually a point he made himself, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he said that in his post match. Yeah, don't insult the players in terms of, like, it's not about how much they want it. They're playing for the club. They get
it. Yeah, I believe
that. But I mean, it didn't work. It didn't have quite the same effect under Van Gaal. It didn't have the same effect under Mourinho. There's something about him, and I think maybe it is because he's easier with them and. No, cuts him too much slack. 100%. We're told.
But I don't think you can portray that as a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing, but. A lot of the good that he has done has come from that same tact.
Yeah,
it's the same thing of like
hearts and minds is important, as you're saying.
Yeah, it is.
Having
but
a detailed analysis of how to make a team that are Manchester United,
we are
Old
Manchester
Trafford,
United. Yeah.
Edinson Cavani.
I think Liverpool could
the colour red.
Liverpool could have
Both sides have that.
Mo Salah's waxwork up front.
Not on Sunday.
Liverpool could have Mo Salah's waxwork up front and they still win.
Yeah, I do think Ronaldo will have recovered from Antonio Cassano's dig. George Mendes said he's the best player in history. Cassano said, yes, the best in history after Napoleon Bonaparte. Enough, George Mendes. He's not even in the top five.
It's just confusing, isn't it? Just confusing.
We'll see if this will be a celebratory throwback to the game 10 years ago this weekend when City beat United 6-1 with Mario Balotelli's Why Always Me t-shirt. Can you believe it?
When you're watching that kind of game, when you're watching that kind of game as a neutral, with respect to Vish, obviously won't be, it's so exciting seeing things like that unfold in front of your eyes. Because you can't take your eyes. It's the best drama. If Liverpool goes, Liverpool goes 3-0 up. Inside 15 minutes, and Liverpool go 3-0 up. Or even Man United do it. It's just amazing.
But this is the thing, though. Yeah, if it plays out like the Atalanta game, and they take a lead, and United go at them, they just open up so much space for Liverpool. Yeah.
And they don't have to take off their main centre, Mark, let's assume. All right, Luke.
Anyway, it's now time for Betway's Four to Score. Each week, entry is absolutely free. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Okay, game number one is Brighton v Man City, Saturday tea time. And Kate, you are up.
Third go to fourth. I feel we should make this very clear.
Yeah.
Gundogan appeared as a sub against Brugge in the 5-1 goal fest. Didn't get one, so I think he'll start and he'll score first at the Amex.
Big shout. I don't know if he will start, but fair enough. I'll back you. Brentford v Leicester City is game number two. Our friend Pete Donaldson has this to say.
Brentford-Leicester, I think Leicester are very much shipping the goals, are very much interested in shipping the goals at the moment, and they've had to do a hell of a lot of travelling as well. Opening goal, going to go for Brian Mbeumo for Brentford.
Very nice. And he's actually listed as a midfielder on Fantasy Football, for those of you who need a little tip.
He's also hit the post more than any player this season.
Don't get any points for that. Game number three, West Ham v Spurs, the aforementioned Sunday, 2 p.m. Vish, you laboured a lot over this. You've made your decision now, I think.
I did, yeah. I thought about Mikel Antonio, because why not? He was rested, obviously going to play a big part in this game. But I decided to go for Jared Bowen.
Good pick. Very good pick. Okay, and game number four, Man United v Liverpool, the big one, Sunday, 4:30. It's my game. I've gone for Mo Salah. So in summary, Ilkay Gundogan, Brian Mbeumo, Jared Bowen and Mo Salah are our four selections for Betway's Four to Score. If you want to play along, you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and head to betway.com/4to-score. For more information on responsible gambling, go to begambleaware.org. Okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
it's time for a twist.
Let me tell you. Vish has got an absolute bead on. And the only reason can be because it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
And I wouldn't want you to say that. I wouldn't want you to start at this point, Vish, thinking you're fucked, because you may notice that someone else seems to be taking the reins here. And Luke Moore has gone suspiciously quiet. And that is because after a big week, It's a takeover.
Well, people have been crying out for me to actually play. So I thought Luke's been chatting
a lot about how he beat a listener on some Patreon thing. He's been spoiling to get up against Pete, but unfortunately for him, today it was Vish, not Pete.
Backfired.
I'm not sure if that's exactly what he was expecting. So yes, today for one or possibly 2 weeks only.
We'll see how it goes.
It's such Vince McMahon energy. Saw the title shot and thought, actually, I couldn't take it off Brassel. I might be able to take it off him.
It's going to be Mason's game. And just for a little tactical piece of advice here today, there is only a single French club in the whole of the options. So if you find yourself thinking about Montpellier or whoever, it won't be them.
Do the line.
Do you not want to do it?
Fire in the belly, head in the freezer.
Yeah, what do you need? Fire in the belly.
And head in the freezer.
How do you feel watching what you've created being chipped away over there?
Everything gets taken away from me at some point. Don't worry about it.
It's already dust.
Who's playing first then? Who's up first?
It's already ashes, isn't it? Yeah.
Do I get? Because I must be unseeded, so I surely have to get to go first.
This is so good. He's backseat driving this, isn't he?
I don't know what I'm going to do about this. We've got. I've managed to summon up a button presser as well, so I'm not even having to push my own buttons here. So maybe. Will I let him go first?
Luke, you created this. Look what she's doing.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
He's smiling.
Yeah, I'll go first.
But he's crying inside. Yeah. All right, then. Going first with your first bid for this one, Luke Moore. Can I have your bid on 5 clubs for Johnny Evans?
Oh, very nice.
Just the 5. I should perhaps point out that, unlike Luke Moore, I made sure to ensure that everybody had a pen and paper for this game.
I'm going
to
bid 4.
Okay.
4.
Whoa. I was settling in.
4.
4 clubs.
Have some of that, Vish.
Look at his face.
I think, yeah, do you 4.
You want me to do the 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. Manchester United. West Brom. Leicester. And this is the tricky one.
It is.
Sunderland? There we go.
Bloody hell. He also started his career at Grenisland FC over in Belfast.
Okay.
So, but that's not a pro club. The only one you missed was Royal Antwerp.
Oh, a little loan spell from Man United. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
This is weird. This is like someone's been feeding him. Shit, I guess he does.
Who came up with the teams?
I guess he does have the link.
No, I don't. Don't undermine the game. Yeah. Of course I don't.
All right, next up. That's a very impressive start. A strong start from Luke Moore, but I see you've got this. Vish has been carb loading. He's been doing his stretches. He's been working hard.
It's not going to do with the game.
So I don't want anybody thinking that this is a done thing. All right. Next up, 8 clubs. Are you ready to make your bid? 8 clubs. It's Charlie Adam.
Oh.
Oh, hello.
Really? Good afternoon. Actually, we're still in the morning. Probably waiting for some breaking news to kick off. Luke is sort of squidging his face up.
Charlie Adam, I'm going to bid.
Yes.
I'm going to bid 4.
Okay. Oh. Good solid bid. But is that, Luke, in the slot?
I think with an educated guess, I can do 4.
Okay.
But I can't do 5. So I'll say Vish can name his 4.
Vish, you're up.
Rangers.
Ding.
Blackpool. Stoke. And Liverpool.
Well,
nicely done. So Stoke was the one you would have had to guess for. That's his
no,
most
captain. No, they're the 4 I had.
But the
guess one would have been Rangers. I couldn't quite remember if he played for Rangers or not.
All right. It's a tie.
It's 1-1.
As I'm marshalling this, I'm trying to keep things professional and fast. So
what
we're going to move
clubs?
Straight into the... No, we're not. That's bad. I said it was professional, but it was the reverse of professional because I didn't tell you the other clubs, ladies and gentlemen, and I also didn't write down what he bloody said, but I think the other 4 are, he's currently playing for Dundee, he also played for Reading, and St Mirren, and Ross County.
Wow. All I've
right.
never got any of those.
No, nor have I.
Okay.
Tough stuff.
All right, 1-1.
1-1 it is.
What's to play
is.
For?
I'm in charge.
No, I'm just excited. I'm not trying to take over, I'm just excited.
I mean, it's like him in all meetings.
Just trying to avoid the dead air.
All right, now
cooking
this,
in your mum's kitchen, isn't
this,
it?
This gentleman has played for 7 clubs,
okay,
and he's actually had a little wee munch earlier on in the show.
Nice.
It's Antonio Cassano. The bid goes to Luke Moore.
Oh, bloody hell. That's tough.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
I agree. Little I agree with Big Shaq. Okay.
7 clubs. His playing days.
I'll go 3.
Were from 1999 to 2017, if that helps you at all.
I'll go 3.
Vish. 3 of 7. Not bad.
I can do 4.
Oh, get.
And the voice, he said it in.
I can't do 5.
Did you like how kind of dismissive it was, Luke?
I can't do 5.
He said it very much like,
oh, listen,
you've embarrassed
yourself. Respect the game. He's a lineal champion for a reason. I have no reason to doubt him.
Right.
I can't do 5, so you go.
4 it is, Vish.
Bari?
Yeah, good. Very good.
Sampdoria?
Yeah, he went on a loan spell there and then they bought him.
Roma?
Yeah.
And Real Madrid?
He's very fast, isn't he? I'm trying to write this bloody stuff down. He's very, very fast. Well done, Vish. Lovely stuff so far. And I did write it down, but I'm still piecing it back. The other clubs you missed were both Milan's, 2 of my favourites.
Yeah.
Parma And he also went to Verona, but he never played a game there, so that wouldn't have counted. Right, Vicious 2-1 up. Just checking with my pals. Right, 2-1 up, Vish. And you
it's my go, yeah.
are bidding. It's a big number, this next one, but I think you should have a good shot at it. It's 11 clubs.
Christ.
And it is Ray Wilkins.
Oh, great to hear him mention.
Yeah,
the
what
ledge.
A man. What a ledge. And shall I give the hint? A little hint? No hint.
No, don't give a hint.
Hint? You want a hint? You don't want a hint.
Oh, wow.
It's a real balls-out performance from both of you, isn't it? I don't want any hints.
God, 11 seems very high.
I know, yeah, shit.
Well, you don't have to get them all. You just have to... You know the way the game works.
Well, I might have to get them all. Depends what Bish vids.
Bish vids.
I'm under pressure.
Spoonerism already.
What are you going for, Bish?
I think I'm going to go for 4.
I can't believe it. You don't. Can I just say, don't listen to him. I was happy with you to take a bit longer. Don't let him pressure you for time. All right, Vish.
It's all part of the gamesmanship.
Yeah, I can see that. You don't need to highlight it to the listeners. Vish, you've gone for 4. You're sticking with 4.
Yeah, I think so.
You're sticking with, and then perhaps that's a good move because
I can't do 5 and the stakes are high. I can't do 5, so I'm going to have to let him go for 4 and hope he messes it up.
Oh, bloody hell. So this, yeah. Vish, as I'm sure you're aware, is for the win. Take your time.
I'll start with the one I don't know, just to get the agony.
Oh, brilliant.
Out of the way.
Thank you for helping me build suspense.
Yeah. We could go down to a decider, though.
Yes, that's
true. Did he play for Glasgow Rangers?
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, he did.
Certainly did. And from he also... 1987 to 1989. Just, oh. Because probably he also... born around then, weren't he?
Yeah, yeah. Because he also played for Queen's Park Rangers.
Certainly did.
He's got it.
And he played for Chelsea.
He did play for Chelsea.
And he played for Milan.
That's the 4 I had. Annoying.
Well played. Ah!
Decent effort, Vish. Also, just very calm.
Well played. What are the rest of the clubs?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't think of any others than those 4.
Okay, starting at the top, you had Chelsea. His first club, and then he went to Manchester United after that, which Fish you missed, I think, of your 4 picks.
Because I think I
need it.
You panicked. He didn't look like he was panicking. That's the main thing. On from there to AC Milan. Paris Saint-Germain was the one French club that I mentioned. Rangers, on from Rangers to QPR, then Palace, back to Queen's Park Rangers, Wickham Wanderers, tough one, Hibernian, Millwall, and he ended his career at Leighton Orient. So that is Ray
Wilkins.
A
lot to choose from. I'm out of my depth here.
Yeah, that's 11. That's a lot for a player of that era.
Yeah,
for some
that's
reason.
An interesting point.
That's certainly what I think.
He spent very short periods at a number of clubs, including Palace and Wickham Wanderers. So yeah, good job, Vish. Congratulations. I think we've tied you out, haven't we? Or do you want to do the last one, Luca?
We could do the last one.
Let's do the last one. Come on.
See if I'll make it 3-2.
Let's do this thing. Juninho Paulista is your final pick.
How many clubs?
He played for 9.
9
clubs.
Bloody hell.
And I guess it is your go to pick first anyway, but Luke, as a lucky loser, you get to give us your bid.
2.
Fine.
Vish, how many can you do?
Yeah, I have one I know.
Well, that's good. All right then. Seems like probably Luke should go.
Should I go?
Yeah.
Shall I do 3?
Oh, outrageous. Go on then.
You go
3. Have your 3.
Spicy.
Leon.
Yeah. No, that's wrong. You're thinking of the wrong Juninho. That's Juninho Pernambucano.
Sorry, I should have said.
Oh, shit.
No, you said Juninho Paulista. You did.
I did. My bad. The dates, would have helped.
It's the cheapest of points, but I'm taking it.
God, I've got the wrong bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the one we're talking about.
I would admit, I could have gone Middlesbrough.
Yeah, very good.
And I would have guessed at Cruzeiro in Brazil.
No.
Okay, go on, tell us.
But good, good shout. Nice one. Because he played from 93 to 2010, his final club. So San Paolo was the first one, then Middlesbrough, as Luke rightly says, Atletico Madrid. Back to,
Atletico Madrid.
Middlesbrough on loan.
Why am I saying that? I guess the wrong player. Sorry. Yeah.
Vasco da Gama, Flamengo, more of Middlesbrough, Celtic, Palmeiras, Flamengo, Sydney FC, And Ituano was his final club. So wow. I think we've all learned something there, haven't we, Vish?
3-2.
And what we've learned is always listen to the instructions.
A loss is a loss, but well played, Vish.
Oh, yeah.
So do I now own Luke's game? You know, like the guy who defeated Steve Jobs is now like presumably owns all the iPads and stuff. Am I like, you get to
keep the trophy now, like Brazil.
But can I take over? Am I like, can I succession this shit? Can I have...
This seems like something
it's a bear hug.
We may need to debate after the show. But, you know, write in if you've got any views.
I'm going to go on the private jet and work out my tactics with people close to me.
Enjoy Sarajevo. Yeah. Oh, shit, spoiler, sorry.
It's funny that Luke hasn't mentioned his private jet at any stage before now. Luke, congrats on your, first appearance in this game in the professional era.
I'm quite happy with the platform I've built there.
How did you feel inside? Under the bright lights.
Yeah. Live. How did I feel inside?
Here he is, the nerd, asking the question. I just want to have a shower.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to understand how I feel inside, Vish.
No, I've never felt this
too
bad.
Too intense. I ain't never felt this bad ever.
Sorry to cut into what could have been a beautiful moment, everybody. Yeah. We need to get out of here. Luke, you had fire in the belly, but maybe a bit more frozen head would be what you needed next time.
I think it was the other way around. I think I was probably a bit too chill. I need to ramp it up next time.
That seems unusual for you.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll carry that one out into the sunset as we get out of here. Luke Moore, lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you, Vatisha Nathantharaja.
As the Australians say, I'm about to enjoy some winner's piss.
Nice to see you listeners as well. Feel free to enjoy that on your own time. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.